Everybody knows that money can't buy happiness. Very common expression. And we all know examples of rich people who are miserable. So that seems to prove the principle that money can't buy happiness. But on the other hand, experience tells us that money does buy happiness. It makes us happier to have money. I was not long ago with, someone pulled out one of these 20 peso coins. They're really attractive. They're two different kinds of metal. They're attractive coins, and gave one of these big 20 peso coins to a child. Well, that child was really happy. And he said, money can't buy happiness? Well, money gave happiness to that child. That 20 peso coin gave that child happiness, at least for a couple of minutes. I don't know what he did with it. And aside from children, just look around on payday. I don't know if any of you get a paycheck on the 15th and the 30th, but anyway, that's how most people live. On payday, they get their money, and then go to any restaurant, go to any mall. There's traffic. There's people out celebrating. There's people drinking. What is it? Because they have money, they're happy. So it seems. So is it true that money can't buy happiness? Well, of course it can buy a certain kind of happiness. I always think of that great song from The Fiddler on the Roof, If I Were a Rich Man. You know that song. I use this in a lot of my homilies. If I were a rich man, Tevye is the poor farmer, a poor milkman singing this song. If I were a rich man, how different my life would be. My wife could have all she wants, and I'd have, you know, plenty of animals in the farm, and not only that, I'd have time to sit in the markets, and people would think I was brilliant because I'm rich. So he's reflecting on this, you know, money. If I had a little bit more money, I would be happier. But of course, in the song, if you know the song, he also realizes not really that, not really. Well, this gospel brings up this topic of money because someone approaches Jesus and says, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. So it seems the guy wants money. He wants his money. And it seems as if, from the way it's expressed, it's not only a desire for money, but a desire for justice. This is my share. I should get my share. And if I have my share, if I have the money, then I'll be happy. For some reason, Jesus doesn't get into the dispute between the two brothers. He backs off from it as if that's not really important. That's not really his mission. And then he gives this little caution against greed. Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist in possessions. So it's as if he sees in the man not just a desire for justice or a desire for his fair share, but he sees evidence of greed. And greed makes us think that our life consists in possessions. And Jesus says, no, life does not consist of possessions or of money. There's more to life than money. Now, he's not saying there's anything wrong with money or possessions. There's nothing wrong with them, but they are limited. They are not ultimate. And that's why he tells this parable of the rich man. Rich man, and he's richer than ever. He's got a bountiful harvest. Is the man happy? Yes, he's happy. You can't say he's not happy. He says, I'm happy. Now I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to live happily ever after. That's what happily ever after means, right? To have plenty of everything, and you can eat and drink and be merry. So the guy's happy. Until he dies, which is that very night. Death changes our relationship with money and with possessions. Or death makes us realize the truth of our relationship with money, because this rich man is happy today because he has plenty of money, But is he happy tomorrow? Well, we don't know. He's a fool. You get the impression that he's not happy. Well, of course he's not happy because of money, because he can't take his money with him. Everyone knows that expression too. You can't take it with you. So the guy who had all this money, all these possessions, he died and he couldn't take any of it with him. He had to leave it behind to someone else, probably his relatives. So if we ask the man, are you happy now that you're dead? Well, if he is happy, it's not because of his money or his possessions, because he doesn't have them anymore. If he's not happy, it's because, and this is what Jesus says, it's because he's not rich in what matters to God. And the parable seems to imply that he's not happy because he's not rich in what matters to God. So, be rich. Sure, be rich, but in a way that leads to lasting happiness, not in a way that leads to passing happiness. Because when we die, we can't take that kind of happiness with us. So what does it mean to be rich in what matters to God? Well, the things that are important to God, like love, like mercy, like generosity, like kindness, like patience, like faith, hope, spiritual richness. This is how to be rich in what matters to God. And when we're rich in what matters to God, it doesn't matter that much how much money we have. Not that much. Well, the readings are all about this. The first reading from Ecclesiastes, very depressing expression of the emptiness of everything. Like, why bother do anything? Because life is just one miserable experience, toil and anxiety, laboring under the sun, and that's the end of that. Well, the limitation of this reading is that he's focused on what's under the sun. In other words, it's a purely earthly perspective, and that's why it's kind of depressing. In the gospel, it's also a little bit depressing because this rich man is also focused only on what's under the sun. He's not ready for what comes next. But if we want to get the richness of this liturgy, we have to look at this second reading. It's a beautiful answer to the emptiness that Koheleth identifies. And it's an answer to the foolishness that the man in the parable exhibits. Here, St. Paul says, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. And this is the key to happiness, right? Not to focus only on what's on earth, because if we focus only on what's on earth, when we die, that's the end of that. But if we focus on what is above, what is beyond earth, well, then we find a source of happiness that does not end. That's what St. Paul is reminding us of here. And this is really inspiring to realize our real life, our real happiness, is not based on our earthly possessions. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Yes, we have a rich life, but it's hidden now. It's not measured by how much money we have or how many possessions we have. Paul goes on to say, put to death the earthly parts of us. Now he's talking about the sinful parts, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed, which is idolatry. Greed is the very thing that Jesus warned us against. Greed, it's an idolatry. So put to death sin, yes. But not only sin, also the idea that earthly goods will make us happy. Put that to death too, because it's not really true. Put to death the old self that still buys into the idea that money will make us happy. No, put on the new self, he says. Put on the new self. The new self is the self in Christ. The self that looks beyond this world. That's what these readings are calling us to do. Not because there's anything wrong with money. but because it's so limited that it's not even worth focusing on. No, let us focus on our life in Christ. Let us focus on what is above, not what is on earth, so that we can experience the happiness that God has in mind for us. Can money buy happiness? Well, a little bit. But what can buy happiness is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He bought us the greatest happiness. So let's rejoice in the happiness that we receive from Jesus Christ.